And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. And boy, do we have a treat for you today. Captains Ben Griffith and Don Sansom, we are going to be talking about the good old days today and a lot more. You stay tuned. This is Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know, it's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guest names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RancholeonEro.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, what a great show today is going to be. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Fishing legends are right here, and I want to thank Captain Ben Griffith for coming up with the idea and actually talking our good buddy Don Sansom to coming in. Good morning, Ben, and good morning, Don. Great to have you.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, great to have you. So, Ben, what spawned, of course, you used to come in and talk on Let's Talk Hookup many, many years ago when you had the Brighton Morning Star, right?
I had it in here with the Morning Star before that, even with and most of the time it was with Marty Miller.
Yeah.
You would be on a trip, and Marty he didn't really know the sport fishing
right
well, so I was kind of the talker.
Coming in talker, yeah. And then, of course, Ricky, you said the first fishing trip you ever went on was with Ben?
First time going overnight with my dad. Yeah, we went on the Father's Day, father and son special every year. You know, I think I was 10 years old or something with
really?
Dad. Yeah, I mean, that was the trip, you know, every year.
Wow.
Like, that was like when the albacore was in, I guess it would have been the previous off time of albacore not gone, and it was Father's Day. It was kind of, you know, beginning of June, and it was always hopeful that that would be a thing, and yeah, I mean, every year, like, some of my favorite memories. Like, I had a lot of fun last night thinking about Dad and thinking about all those trips. I mean,
yeah,
it was a long, long time ago.
Yeah. And so we have two guys that have long careers, and still one of them still has a career in sport fishing business. Ben, you're retired now, right?
Well, I've been working the last 3 years. I just told Chuck he was looking for somebody to do some night driving. So that was 3 years
right.
ago, and I've been doing night driving on the Tradition, or I'm sorry, the Legend and the Excalibur and the Jig Strike.
So you that's still have cool. your active license?
Yeah, I told. Oh, yeah, I got. This is my 59th year in the license, and I got 50. One more year. My license expires in February of 23.
Wow. Are you going to renew it?
No.
No. Wow.
No, it's getting, you know, as you get older, you lose some of your balance and things like that.
Sure.
So it gets a lot more difficult.
But yeah.
I just enjoy being on the boats.
I bet you do.
Now, how did you start your career? Give us kind of the rundown of Ben Griffith's career.
I went down, I got out of high school, and I'd been fishing on a skiff with my dad, going through the surf and like that. But I wanted to work on the sport boats. His vacation was take whatever vacation money he had at the time, and he'd take me and my brother Ted, and we'd go for sport fishing. And usually it was on the old Ironsides or sometimes on the Sportfisher 6. None of those boats are around anymore. But anyway, I really wanted to get a summer job when I got out of high school, and I really didn't want to go to college, but I was kind of going that way because there was nothing else, you know, to look at. So I came down here to get a job in May of 59, and I went down and I went from boat to boat asking about, you know, can you use a deck hand and would you have any experience? No. Okay, no, sorry, but, you know, maybe somebody else. And so I went every boat that first day that was, everybody was down there. Nothing happened. I was pretty discouraged. I thought I'm going to give it one more day. So I came back the next day and I did the same thing. And I was, by 4 o'clock, I'd just given up. I'm walking past the H&M tackle shop. And the rod rental area back then was right in the back. And a little old lady back there, she goes, and she waves me into the office, into that office. And I said, yes, ma'am. And she says, I saw you down here yesterday, and down here again today. You're looking for a job on the boats. And I said, yeah. She said, how bad do you want it? I said, well, it's bad enough to come back down twice, but I'd really like to do it. And she said, they asked you about experience. I said, yeah, but I don't have any. Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I can see you're serious, so I'm going to put you on standby tomorrow. I'm going to put you on Ride to Learn tomorrow. Ride to Learn was free labor. And so that means if the boats are going to start leaving at 2:30, so you get down here by 1:30, and I'll have you on Ride to Learn. And when you're on Ride to Learn, that means you're going to go on, and you're going to help, you know, put you on with Mel on the new mascot, and you help him out. Whatever they want you to do. So, okay. And if he likes you, after a few days, he'll come up here and tell me, Olame, why don't you put Ben on standby? And now standby means somebody shows up drunk. They don't show, and there was a lot of that back then. Somebody doesn't show up or whatever, then we'll put you on to work. But standby is going to pay you $2.50 to show up. So I drive down from Encinitas to, mm-hmm. to show up at 1:30 for $2.50.
Wow.
But that paid all my gas, you know, yeah. and then some. The gas was like 30 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought about it. Well, I thought, I'll go ahead and do it. So put me on Ride to Learn, in about 2 days I was on standby. And she says, here's the way you do it at the time. She says, if you have nothing to do, you pick up a bucket and you fill it full of water out of the deck hose. You get a can of Comet, and that's how they used to scrub everything, scrubbed all the paint off, and just start scrubbing. I said, well, where? She says, doesn't make any difference. Just start scrubbing. they'll see you working, and then they'll come up and tell me to put you to work. Okay. In about a week, I was working full time.
Wow. Awesome. And what are kind of, you remember how all the different boats that you worked on until you own? When did you start owning your own boats?
I bought my first boat. Well, I worked 5 years, and I got my license in 63. That was February of 63. And then I got drafted right after that. That was right at the start of the Vietnam War.
Uh-huh.
And so they put me, I went in the Army, and then they classified me as a coxswain. And I said, I didn't know the Army had boats. Oh, the Army's got lots of boats. But you can't be a coxswain until you're a Spec 4. But you got a license, so we're going to make you. And I said, okay, whatever. So I got back there, and they said, well, the first sergeant calls me and Wayne Kaywood from Paradise Cove. We both got drafted at the same time. Called us in his office and said, look, you guys got licenses, so we're not going to put you through school to start with because we're short of coxswains. We're just going to have you start running boats.
Wow.
Put us on a seven. I had probably 12 hours of running boats to the field up. and they said, okay, this is going to be on this LCM-8, 76-foot steel boat. And by the way, we're going to leave for Little Creek in about 2 weeks and do war games down there. I thought, oh, geez. So I've never been on this thing before, but I can run a boat enough. You know, I think I can get by. And a real quick story, as long as you're on the Army, we got down there and we're going to assault the beach, and I've got about 150 guys in the well deck, and the first lieutenant, CO up in the stern. You run those boats in the stern, the cockpits. So we're charging the beach at about 12 knots, which was really fast for those guys. And we were about 150 yards from the beach, and all of a sudden we went from 12 knots to dead stop.
Boom.
And I took 150 guys went, boom, head over teacups. And the lieutenant, I threw him about 50 feet down.
Yeah, that wasn't a good thing.
Well, I threw myself out of the cockpit. Oh, I was trying to grab the throttles, get him back. A good friend of mine, got to be a good friend, is the engineer. He comes out, he's swearing at me, what do I do? I said, I don't know what. He said, you hit a sandbar. I said, oh, okay, I didn't know anything about sandbars. And he said, well, can you fishtail it? So I'm starting to fishtail, and these guys are all cussing, so I just dropped the ramp. I'm still in 4 feet of water. 150 guys go piling into the water, and some of them are bobbing. The short guys are bobbing around.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so they finally get ashore. After it was all over, I dodged everybody, got back to Fort Eustis, and no sooner get back, and the CQ runner comes down and says, hey, Griff, the CO wants to see you in his office right now. And I thought, oh, geez. So I go down to his office, and I knock, and I salute and all that, and come. He says, oh, Eddie, sit down. He said, what happened out there? And I said, well, I hit a sandbar. And he said, well, I see that. You didn't know about sandbars? I said, all I knew about sandbars was what I'd seen John Wayne do in the mill movies. So he says, okay. He says, I'm going to tell you a story. He said, I was on the command ship with a brigadier general on a cruiser. And he said, when you hit that sandbar, the binoculars went up real quick. And then he said, when you drop that ramp, he started laughing so hard he was doubled over. And he said, I don't want you to go spread this around. But he said, this is for telling your grandkids later on. But he said, you literally had a brigadier general on his knees when you dropped that ramp and dumped those guys in the water. Outside of that, the 2 years went good. So
that's cool. Now, Don, how did you get started in this sport fishing business? You started about the same time, right?
Right around the same time, yeah. Well, my brother Danny he's the one that came down to the docks at first.
Yeah.
And he would be deadheading on boats, and he tried to get me to go with him. And I had paper routes and gardening business and everything. I didn't really get into it until I was like 16. And I came down, and I would have done anything to get a job on one of those boats.
Yeah.
And there was a guy that I saw, the only guy that would give me a chance was Eddie Urban on the boat Can Do. And I said, I'll do anything. And he said, well, come on, get down in the bilge. And I worked for 3 days in the bilge. And they talk about a miserable job. But
yeah.
But I had my foot in the door. So a while later, I went down and I talked to Manny Silva. At the time, he was running, I can't remember, it was a Mascot.
Mascot 3.
Mascot 3, that's right, the boat in 1888.
Yep, built in 1888.
1888?
A wooden schooner, yep. Originally.
No way.
Yeah. And I started with him.
And you guys are fishing albacore on these boats?
No, it's half day. This is half day.
Yeah.
Half day. And at the time, I look back on it, and it's the perfect proving grounds for anybody starting. You start at the bottom. Half day was ideal. Then you go to full day, then you're long range, you know. By then, you're seasoned, supposedly. But when I was working with Manny on the Warrior 7, it was one of the. I was lucky in my life to have met Manny Silva. To me, he was like a saint.
Yeah.
And tell you one little thing, it's kind of funny. One night we were, I was living with Manny for about a half a year, and we were running two trips a day, and about 9 o'clock we were done. We're getting ready to go home. We had the boat clean and we're getting ready to go to Manny's house. So we jump off the boat and we're walking up next to the boat, and there was a noise in the bait tank, like something flopping. He goes, "What's that?" And I knew what it was. And he went up and looked. And it was a calico bass.
Because you'd already been dumped the bait tank.
Yeah, I was supposed to clean the tank out, but I missed the calico. But anyway, Manny.
And you're done with two trips, dead tired. You're ready to go home.
I was ready to go home, and Manny got that calico bass out of the bait tank, got down on his belly, and for 15 or 20 minutes, revived the fish. And that was my experience with Manny.
Wow.
That's cool.
So obviously Manny was quite an inspiration in your fishing career life. Anybody else that really just was such an inspiration to you?
Well, then we go on. The next guy that I worked for was Bill Poole.
Bill Poole.
On the original Polaris.
Wow.
It was a 63-foot ABR.
Yeah.
63 feet. And my life here again was better by me having worked for the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a phenomenal man. He could have done anything in life and succeeded. Anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He had such charisma. And anyway, I worked with him for a while. And when I was 18, I wanted to get a license. My 18th birthday, I went down and got my six-pack license. So I'm on my way. So Bill knew that I was chomping at the bit to do something. So he started letting me take the boat to the fuel dock by myself at 18.
At 18.
So that was the start. And then later on, when I was still 18, I still had the license. Bill Poole always made time for himself to go hunting and get away. He sure. always did. And so September 1st, he would go down to the valley every year. But this one particular year that I was on the boat, he was going to go, and he just shocked the hell out of me. He said, "Don, you're running the boat." Albacore.
Jeff. No warning, just here you go.
I'm 18. You're going.
I'm 18. You have to be 21 and run the boat.
Go.
So I said, "Well, I can't do it, Bill. I don't have the right license." "Don't worry about that."
So it's Bill's show.
Yeah. So there was a guy named Ray Deloche who was a carpenter, and he had a license, but he didn't use it, but he was still in effect. So he got Ray Deloche on the boat just to go along yeah. as a license. And the day before, we're still fishing albacore. The whole fleet, we did nothing. So I went out on the boat for my first time, and I was scared to death. 18 years old. And we got lucky, and we went to a little bit different area, and we had 176 albacore that day.
Wow.
And because the day before, I think we'd only had 5 or 10 fish.
And you put the fleet on that fish.
Well, just that day, we got lucky and got into them. So Bill came back the next day. And we went out, and we got 323 albacore the next day.
Wow.
The next day after that, we got 440.
Oh, my.
The next day after that, we got 446. And that was all the start for that dove hunting trip.
And you were 18 years old?
18.
And he remembers that he got 346.
No, I remember all that.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing,
it,
huh?
Yeah.
Well, as you can hear, we have some great stories to tell you here and a lot more. And we want you to participate, too. Ask some questions and make some comments. Maybe you rode with these guys back in the day, right?
Almost for sure you did. And we're just going to have a great show. Yeah, like so much great info to cover and great times. And, man, just the careers of two guys that have seen it and done it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And we'd love to have you join us this morning. If you want to give us a call on Let's Talk Hookup, shoot us a call at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. 832-1090. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup. Or you can shoot us a text. Been a very popular option to the show. Text the show. That's only available via the Let's Talk Hookup app. That's a free download on your Android or your iPhone. Just search Let's Talk Hookup. You'll fire up the app. Send us a text and make sure that you include your contact info. So if you happen to be the lucky winner at the end of the show, if we draw a text, we'll be able to contact you to win that prize. So if you're not aware, we have kind of changed things up for we've had such good participation from our texters. How we give away a prize at the end of the show today is we take all of the phone calls, we take all the texts, we flip
all the texts that we use on the air.
Right. Yep. We take we flip a coin at the end of the show. One side's marked callers, one side marked texters. Whichever of that is, then we'll randomly draw from either the callers or the texters, and they will win a killer prize at the end of the show today, which happens to be a very killer prize because somebody at the end of today's show is going to get to go fishing on a full-day trip on board the San Diego with Captain Ryan Boston, Captain Matt Brawla out of C4 Sport Fishing. Just an awesome prize for one of our lucky callers today. So, again, if you want to get through, shoot us a text via the Let's Talk Hookup app. Make sure to include your contact info or give us a call at 213-432-1090. When we come back, we're going to be taking those phone calls. Lots of great info coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
When you want to catch big bluefin tuna, you need Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. The Shimano Beastmaster is the pinnacle of electric reels. Shimano's Gigamax motor packs a winding strength up to 250 pounds, ideal for kite fishing and more. Shimano's Butterfly flat fall jigs are irresistible to bluefin tuna because they stay in the strike zone longer. Shimano makes a complete line of Butterfly flat fall jigs to target your favorite game fit. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
If you're looking for a high-quality cocktail that's also easy to enjoy on your next fishing trip, check out Cutwater Spirits' lineup of canned cocktails. Cutwater's master distiller and co-founder, Yusuf Cherney, is a hardcore fisherman. In fact, he developed Cutwater with all his favorite adventures in mind. Yusuf takes Cutwater's award-winning spirits, uses them to make real cocktails, and then puts them into cans so you can take them anywhere. It's like they were made for fishing because they were actually made for fishing. Check out their popular canned margarita made with real tequila, the zest vodka mule, or the spicy Bloody Mary, which has some serious bite. They also make super refreshing vodka sodas in grapefruit, lime, and cucumber flavors. Just crack the can and enjoy a bar-quality cocktail even when there's no bar in sight. Back at the dock or at your evening anchorage in Catalina, Cutwater cocktails are exactly what you need for your next fishing trip. You can check out all 18 of Cutwater's canned cocktails at CutwaterSpirits.com and then look for them at your local liquor store. Then go ahead and set your cocktail free. Please enjoy responsibly.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Hey anglers, AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you or learn more at AFCO.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. Having a great time already this morning.
Yeah.
Phones are already packed up. We have one phone line still open if you want it. That's 213-432-1090.
Tsunami-free day, we hope, today.
Yeah, I'm thinking
Probably not. How about some of that footage from Northern California, Santa Cruz? Did you see some of that?
I don't think I saw
harbor.
Northern California.
Holy
no, really.
Mackerel. Yeah, again. Well, they had a lot of damage in that one several years ago, but they had some issues.
Okay.
I don't think anything got severely damaged, but they had some severe tide swings.
Yeah.
Good old Harold Davis sent me some photos.
Okay, cool.
Quite something. But we got lucky. You were down on the fuel dock, right, Don?
Yes,
when
I
it
did.
Happened, and did you see any movement
no,
at all?
No, very, very, very little. But we're protected by the point where the
sure.
police dock
right.
is.
Yeah.
Now, around the other side by the Valley High, I remember when we had that big one, the last
yeah.
one. That was horrible there.
Yeah.
It was like a river, and it was dangerous. I mean, the boats, it was hard to steer.
Moving the docks.
Yeah, and it came up, you know, but not where we are.
Yeah, but it sunk the floating dock over at the police dock right on the corner there, maybe because it's on the corner.
Probably, yeah. The water's got to get somewhere.
Got to move, right? Yep. A little bit of movement. But, yeah, down here, but, yeah, that was interesting. Everybody was kind of...
Didn't know what to expect.
You never know, right? Well, hey, phones are packed. Texts are coming through. Let's go ahead and jump into it, Rick.
You got it. Well, why don't we start the phones off this morning with our good buddy Don. He's calling us from Woodland Hills this morning. Don, thanks for getting us started here on Let's Talk Hook Up.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much for the privilege to talk to your guests this morning. I wasn't really sure what I was going to hear, but boy, was I surprised to recognize Ben. Ben, I fished the Morning Star many, many years ago. Best albacore trips I ever had. And the thing I remember most about the boat, other than great skipper and crew, was I was on a multi-day albacore, and we had a late afternoon bite. Everybody was catching fish, and the boat just stopped and drifted all night long because we kept on hearing that there were fish under the boat. And we got up at gray light, and the bite just lit. And we were on fish all day long, and I don't think we moved until it was time to head back to the dock. So thank you so much. It's great fishing memory, and really love fishing the boat and being out there with you on the water. Thank you.
No, I'm glad you got to go. It was those days are fun to remember and think back on because they're the great memories that you hold on forever, and some of the old albacore days were absolutely phenomenal.
And the Morning Star you had what years?
I got it in 87, and I sold it in 99.
And then that Brighton Morning Star came.
I got that in 93,
okay,
and then sold it 2011.
Wow. And where are the boats now?
The Morning Star is the, when I got the boat, it was the Pursuit. And then when it went back, when Paul and John bought it back, they changed it back to Pursuit.
Pursuit, okay.
Cool.
So it's still fishing.
Yeah, Bright Morning Star is down, and it's now the, I forget the name, it's down in Trinidad.
Trinidad?
Yeah, I delivered it down there, and then I ended up delivering more boats after that for the next 5 years from the guy that took it down there.
Wow. That's cool. Well, hey, Don.
What was the route like to Trinidad?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, the going down there was fine. I had no problems going down.
Taking it through the canal?
Yeah, I've been through the canal before. So when I took it through the canal and then when I came out the other side, John Powell, he told me to stay clear of the islands. Go around Bonaire, go around Aruba, and go all the way down, stay outside because there's so many pirates down there.
Huh.
And
no kidding.
And sure enough, kids were going out in skiffs with shotguns and holding up boats, and that's still going on down off Venezuela.
Wow.
So we just stayed outside, and we got caught in some really bad weather. It was up 70 plus knots, and
we went across
the whole top of South America at like 5 knots.
Holy
you know,
it,
we got our butts pounded doing that, and we got to once we got to Grenada, we make a right turn and go right down to Trinidad.
Wow,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
How do you on a trip like that? Do you just fuel when you can get fuel? Do you barrel? Do you put barrels of fuel on the deck? Like how do you handle a fuel situation?
I planned to get down to the canal with what we had on the deck and what we were carrying. We ran the weather. We got hung up there between Cabo and Puerto Vallarta with a hurricane coming through, And so we stayed there. We hung up. We were about halfway down. We just waited till that hurricane went to the west, about 2 days. And we were running short of fuel. And I think I could have made the canal, but I didn't want to push it. So we went into a place. I went into Punta Arenas. And Punta Arenas, they wouldn't let us fuel. They, you know, had this some kind of a hold until they checked in drugs and stuff. So I left there and went down to Golfito, another 100 miles, and got fuel down there. I just took enough there. It was really expensive to get down to the canal, and then I fueled it. And once I went through the canal, and I fueled on the other side.
Down.
Got across.
Cool. All right. Hey, Don, thanks a lot for call this morning. I have a good text from Mark from La Quinta, and he says, good morning. Question for Don. Can you give us some history on the Guadalupe bluefin? How did you fish for them? Do you recall when they left the island? And you have some good Guadalupe stories, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I think they were good stories anyway. Okay, well, when the original Polaris was still around, we would go to Guadalupe, and I didn't make many trips down there, maybe on that boat, maybe five. And we never saw a yellowfin. All the tuna that we saw were bluefin. Never saw a yellowfin, never saw a shark.
Amazing.
Never. So a few years went by, and the Polaris 3 comes into it. And we had a charter, the University of San Diego. No, University of California at San Diego. And this was on the Polaris 3. And we took them down, and one of them wanted to stay on the island, one of them wanted to go offshore, and one of them wanted to study with the plants. So the ones that we dumped them off on the island, and we took these guys offshore. What are we going to do? Well, what they wanted to do is with ganyons. We made up 25-foot ganyons, and they wanted to go in 2,000 fathoms and drop these over.
Holy mackerel.
And the whole procedure would take about 24 hours. So we made up the ganyons, put a 10-foot pole on with a big orange flag, and that's all we had. And we went out, because we didn't have a meter that went to 2,000 fathoms. We went by radar off the island.
Okay.
So we get out there the next day after 24 hours, and we couldn't find the buoys.
Yeah.
Or the flags. Couldn't see them. Then all of a sudden, after looking around an hour, one popped up, and they all popped up. They had magnesium chain that was sized to give it 24-hour life. So they would go down, the chain would melt. Okay, we had buoys on the flags, and it would go down all the way to the bottom, stay down 6 hours, and then come up, and sure enough, it worked.
Wow.
So the fish that we got were, every hook had been bit.
No kidding.
Every one. And we used cut whitefish because it's so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was seeing the hooks better in it. But all the hooks had been bit, and every fish was black and slimy. And there was different species, and the scientists didn't even know what they were. They were going to go back and do it.
That's cool.
That's quite a story.
No,
so we're going in, and Steve Loomis was on the boat with me, and he said, do we have to go in? I said, well, I don't know. He said, let's fish, and we're still out of ways. And I go, what do you mean let's fish? He says, let's try it here. It's too deep. So we tried 80 fathoms. We're coming in. Oh, and they're taking to mine. All we have is a flasher.
Yeah.
We don't have any fancy electronics.
You can just see the bottom.
You can see the bottom, and and it could be fish, it could be bottom, or it could be the side of the cliff, and the bars would be real wide. But at any rate, as luck would have it, we dropped down two ganyons with 20 hooks apiece, and they were loaded with red rock cut.
Wow.
And I mean big ones. So we went in. The guys finally wanted to go. We made a few more drops, and that was 80 fathoms. So that was it for that trip on that. We went down on a trip later on the Searcher, because the Cousteaus were there, and they wanted to go down and stay on the island a week.
This is all a Guadalupe.
This is a Guadalupe.
Yeah.
So we had the searcher, and we dropped him off on the island. So we had 4 or 5 days to do whatever we wanted because they were going to be down there about 5 days. So we fished around the island, and we fished this 80-fathom line all around the island.
Ah, cool.
And there's very few days where you can fish the weather side because it's so rough.
Sure.
But the fish that we caught, and we tried it at night a few times, and we never had one bite on anything.
Huh.
Now, I'm not saying rock cod don't bite in the dark, because they do.
Yeah.
But they didn't at Guadalupe.
I'll be darned.
So we went all the way around the island, and we caught yellowtail. The most we caught on one ganyon was 5. That was the top 5 hooks. Now, these aren't big yellows. They're like 15, 18 pounds.
Uh-huh.
They're not the whoppers.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that really blows my mind. Maybe 5 times in the first day that we went around the island, we would be bringing, we would be starting to bring the rock cod up. We think they're rock cod, but they're yellows. The poles would just start jerking that, and that, and they like that, and we'd have 1 to 5 yellows on it. But every once in a while, there'd be these teeth marks about this wide, all
in about like an inch wide,
like a half moon.
Huh.
And half of the yellowtail was there, but what was left was just teeth marks. These were, and we kept saying, "What is making these teeth marks?" We never ever ever saw a shark.
Really?
But huh. It had to have.
But
been,
they were there.
It had to have been those white sharks that showed up later.
I'll be darned. Yeah. Or but, some kind of shark.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
During that time, was there sign of tuna that you guys just didn't fish, or was there no sign of that around?
No. We didn't have bait or anything to
sure.
do that, you know.
Pretty amazing.
We were, Don and I were working on the new Oahan when it was first built for Dick Gadosh.
Wow.
And we were doing rock cod trips down past the islands, and he was leaving it.
Past the Coronados.
Yeah, past the Coronados, and we were leaving about, I think we were leaving at 6 in the morning. And we were going past South Island for about 4 or 5 days, and we're seeing bird schools up by the Ribbon Hill. And Dick kept, we got to go check that. Finally, after about 4 days, he says, okay, let's go look. And he says, get the jig. This is before the doghouse wheelhouse on top of the low end. It was just a flat.
Just an open ridge?
No, the bridge was all up where the bunks are now.
Okay.
And he says, grab those jig drawers out of the bottom, dump them out. We got them out, and we got up closer to it. It was all white sea bass, driving squid out of the water.
Oh.
So Don and I tie a jig on each. We had a couple of rigs up in the bow. Both of us fire out, and they're all of 35 to 40-pound fish.
Oh.
We both hang fish, but in the meantime, we have these professional rock cod, guys that love rock cod, and they got their ganyons all strung along the rail, and they've all put the cut squid on all their... And they got 10-hook ganyons. This is before the 4-hook. And
sure.
All. They go. We both get sea bass. We're pulling a sea bass. These guys don't know what's going on. And I guess, and Dick didn't say anything. They all dump these sinkers over the side, and all at once these guys are start screaming, "Hey, we got problems!" You know, boom, boom. The rods are going up. The rods are going boom, boom on the rail, and the guys that were lucky got the top fish on the top hook.
All big white sea bass.
All big white sea bass.
Oh, wow.
And that's with wire. A lot of them had wire.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they
were biting.
They were biting. And then he put the trip after that. We went the rest of the winter fishing sea bass.
I'll be darned. And that was back when the Coronado Islands were loaded with squid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even in those days, Mascot 3, they were catching the sea bass came all the way up off the Hotel Del.
Wow.
And we were getting half-day sea bass, 40-pound sea bass.
Right there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
And that was, there were pretty prolific kelp beds out there, too, at that time, right? I mean, it was...
At the islands, yeah. not around the hotel. But
at the islands. Yeah. I remember even when I was a kid.
The ribbon kelp was kelp.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was where we ended up fishing. We were taking turns sometimes fishing, and I got this was that same year, and I hung a fish. And I can't get this thing up, and I think I got a world's record white sea bass. And I've been on this thing for 15 minutes or something, and Dick says, get that thing in here. I can't sit the boat here any longer. and I had the drag pull down, and I'm short pumping, and I can't move it. Don says, give me that thing, and Don grabs her rod. He cranks the drag down and gives about 7 short pumps in real quick, and up floats it. Up comes a 249-pound black sea bass.
Black sea bass. Wow. Yeah, I know you guys probably have some good stories on black sea. And a lot more stories,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man, you've got to. I can't wait. When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to check in with the catch report, find out what's biting up and down the beach, and a whole lot more with these guys. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer, a world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alagnak River. Get in the action fishing for all 5 species of Pacific salmon, king, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alagnak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls in Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. And check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's K-A-T-M-A-I.com. Katmai.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, Gew Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time this morning, talking fishing, talking all kinds of fun. And as promised, it's time to find out what's biting out there. It is time for our catch report today, which is sponsored by Terrafin. Focus your offshore fishing in the best areas by using Terrafin. Temperature, chlorophyll, and more, Terrafin is the professional's choice for dependability and accuracy. And now with Terrafin Mobile, you can download the charts on your iPad, your iPhone, or your Android device. Check Terrafin.com for more information. Let's find out what's going on the water with our man, Captain Brian Woolley at Dana War Sport Fishing's on the line. Good morning, Woolley.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going this morning?
We're doing great. How'd you guys fare through the big tsunami up there yesterday?
Hey, man, there was a lot of water moving around. Yeah, for sure. It was rushing in and out a few different times. We put up a video on our Instagram yesterday. You can kind of take a look at that, see that water rushing through. Wasn't as bad as we've seen it in times past, but certainly it was exciting there for a little while.
Pretty wild. So.
Pretty crazy, huh? That far away, that amount of water is moving around like that. That's wild. So, anyways, with that, you know, we had a good week. That weather certainly helped us out for sure, you know, that sunshine and warm weather. Half-day fishing still on the sand bass and the sculpin program, as will be the case here, I imagine, as we roll through the winter here. Some decent action a few days. They had 35 keeper one day, I think those guys were telling me, which is pretty good for our little stretch. Everything being caught right now is at the bottom, and it's all on the sinker setups. As you know, the water temps here are 57 degrees, been pretty standard, which hopefully is the coolest we'll see it. You know, typically this is about what we see, so we'll ride that out. Even with the cooler water, though, you know, that fish is kind of settled out to the bottom. The guys are reporting some good action around the tides, too, so that's kind of helped them out. And then some nice catch and release action as well, and some real nice sheephead Those things are getting that second chance of life with the calendar there being what it is. Three-quarter day, I'll tell you, just Sculpin is pretty much front and center there, and that's been the program, and that's been really good as well. The guys fishing on three-quarter day have been going home with a five-fish limit pretty consistently, and it's been some decent size. You know, we've got to sort some small ones out, but from what the guys have been telling me, it's been pretty darn good. Dropper loop swim baits have been producing better. The better quality on those Sculpin and anything, the baits with the red and the orange in them have been the go-to baits for the guys fishing that stuff. And then on our halibut derby, still we're kind of on that same pace. It's kind of just been a funky deal for us the last couple weeks, slower than we'd expect or that we'd like, with only a handful of fish on that derby leaderboard. I think there's only four fish on there, which means, you know, there's still plenty of opportunity and plenty of time to get your name on there. But, you know, this derby runs through March, and typically we've seen some of our bigger fish caught later in these derbies as it is. So we're hoping to see some of that as you know, we roll through some of these cooler water temps. Things kind of start to perk up a little bit, and we start to see some more of that springtime condition. Who knows, maybe we'll see some squid push in, and we'll get some fish on that stuff as it's out in that little zone. So we'll see how it works out. But, again, you know, March typically is when we start seeing some of that better quality. So that's it for us up here. If you guys want to hop on a trip, give the landing a call. Our number, 949-496-5794. Of course, you can link us right there through the Let's Talk Hookup page. Take you over to danawarf.com, and you can book online from there as well.
And, of course, next Sunday, a tribute to Don Hansen from Dana Warf Sport Fishing. And, Brian, I'm going to have to rely on you to kind of spread the word among your people there that have good Don stories. And feel free to share the number to if somebody wants to call in and share a good Don story with us next Sunday.
Awesome.
It's going to be a great tribute to Don. And so yeah, if you have people that you think are worthy of telling good Don stories, please ask them to participate and give them the number and tell them to call in.
Great, I'll do that. I know a few guys who will love to share some stories, so we'll make sure that happens.
Fantastic. Of course, we're going to have Dave Hansen and Ken Franke in the World Headquarters studios here, but I'm sure a lot of people want to participate in that story.
Cool, cool. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, we'll get that out there as well.
Yeah, all right. Thanks very much. Appreciate that, Brian, and we will talk to you next Sunday for the big tribute show.
Sounds great. Thanks for the time, guys. We'll talk to you then. See ya.
Thanks, Willie. All right. Well, while we're waiting for our surf guru, Gundy Gunderson, to give us a call, we had a fun text come through from Kirk. It says, Don, I know that you love the salt and sea. Can you please tell us a little bit about some of your experiences out there?
The good old days at the salt and sea, huh?
At salt and sea?
I remember those.
Oh, my God. What a fishery that was.
Oh, yeah.
It had to have been the greatest fishery in the United States.
Oh, no question.
Bar none.
Maybe the world. I don't know.
Yes, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
No, we had a lot of trips. We wouldn't fish close to the ground. We'd go offshore, maybe 10 miles or 8 miles or whatever. And when we first started, we had these rent boats. And we, like two or three of us would go on each in their separate boats. And the way we found them, when it was real calm, you could talk to a guy a long ways away. Hey, I got one. So the other boat would get a little bit closer and a little bit closer, and they would build up. And if you could have squittered them like an albacore. I mean, these
Corvina, right?
Corvina.
Yeah.
They got thick.
And big ones, too, right?
Oh, my Lord. You know, say, it was really something. Like you use the tomcod.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't figure out how to find them because the salt and sea is not super deep.
Yeah.
So when I bought a boat for the salt and sea, and I had a nice meter. It was a graph, but we never ever saw them. And why couldn't we see this volume of fish that we're catching?
Right.
Because the longer you would stay, the thicker they'd get. So we found out after many, many hours of looking at that meter, you just see some little tiny specks, and that was the croaker. You get the croaker started, and for some reason, then the Corvina would start.
And how come you'd never meter them? Is it because of the density of the water, maybe?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have
Something
no idea.
Something to do with all the minerality in the water, the density.
I don't have the foggiest idea. Yeah. And a couple of guys that I fish with, they couldn't get it either.
Yeah. What a fishery that was.
Oh,
shame that's gone. But,
oh, my
I mean,
Lord.
who knows whether they'll ever come back or not. But
yeah, they were. You know, you hear guys say they got 25-pounders. I don't think we ever caught a 25-pounder. But it caught plenty of 12 to 17-pounder
yeah, those.
Would yeah. that was that all a live bait fisher? Like, would you catch tomcod and fish them that way, or did you catch them with a plastic? Like, how did you go about?
We never
that?
Fished them with plastic.
Okay.
We caught them with the well, the tilapia. We'd go out just before daylight when it was real calm with a throw net and get a lot of tilapia. Okay. Tilapia, and if we couldn't catch the tomcod,
yeah. Got it,
or the croaker.
We used to hammer them on the plastics out there. I mean, yeah. I just remember 80 fish days, you know, on the plastic. That was just unbelievable. Yeah.
That was a place where you could go shoot a limit of doves and then go catch a limit of...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff there, for sure. Well, let's jump back on the phones.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Dave? Dave's calling us from Anza this morning. Hi, Dave. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Well, sounds like we might have lost Dave, so let's try to jump back into the phones and this time talk to Greg. Greg is calling us from Santa Rosa this morning. Hi, Greg. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, I am honored to, like the first caller or the second caller there, I am honored to talk to both Don and Ben. I heard about those guys and worked with both of the brothers for a number of years. So it's interesting that there was a group of brothers that worked on there for a long time. Speaking of which, my brother is Gary Atkins, and we both worked on there for a long time. Gary worked on the Salty Dog 95 with Ed Reese and some other guys, Bob Strange. And then I was blessed, as Don mentioned, to work with Dwight and Manuel Silva on the when I worked with Manuel Silva. Originally, it was on the new mascot, and when I was with the, Dwight, it was with the Malahini. Mano didn't get on the Malahini until many years later. In any case, first, like I said, I'm honored to hear the stories. First thing I'd recommend, and this is just a recommendation, I recommend both you guys, write this stuff down. I would buy anything you wrote, and there's many guys lined up to buy anything you wrote. Just like Bill Poole did his, Ed Reese wrote several books. I'd recommend you guys write these things down, because when you disappear, unless they're written down, we'll forget some of those stories. So my first question, sure, thank you. I would buy anything you guys wrote down, because you guys are really a few years behind where I started. I didn't start down there until 68 or 69, and I first worked with Manuel Silva, and Lou Gravetto, and before him, Les Lindsay on the Alicia. I was on the Alicia when she sank inside the bay. And I don't want to dwell on that. But back to the gentleman we're talking to, I would like to hear from you any stories you have with both of your brothers and or your fathers or your kids. Last but not least, I want to know if you guys want to talk about any of the big changes that have happened to the landings, the sport fishing industry, like the move from Broadway to Point Loma, or the changes like going from the pinger, the flasher, to the meter, those types of big elements. I was a little bit involved to begin with Day at the Docks, and I actually think that helped to kind of take off part of the landings here in the 80s. But I just want to hear any old stories you have, like I said, with your brothers or your families. Those are some of the sweetest stories there are. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for the call this morning. Of course, Don, you have some pretty legendary brothers, right?
Well, I have one that was in the business a long time.
Yeah.
Danny,
yeah.
He had the American Anglers.
Yep.
So to Sam. Sam.
Patella.
Patella and Brian.
Brian. And Dan was a heck of a fisherman.
Yep.
I'm fortunate to fish with him. And boy, he could catch some fish.
He fishes every day. Every day, he lives at Clear Lake.
Yeah.
He's had some medical problems, so he hasn't been able to fish for the last couple of months, but he's going to get going again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you have some brothers, Ben?
Well, my brother Ted followed me, and he got really big in this. Then he ended up going into tug business and into excursions up offloading cruise ships and that kind of thing. So he stayed in it pretty well.
Wow.
He was in the sport fishing a long time, though.
Yeah.
The last boat he had was the second Red Rooster, now the Islander. It was the Point Loma when he had it.
Oh, okay. Wow.
He even had a charter all the way over to Hawaii chartered to a guy over there, and they ran it over there for 6 months.
I'll be darned.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool. Good stuff. Well, let's continue our catch report here.
You got it, man. We got the surf guru, Gundy Gunderson's on the line with our surf fishing report. Good morning, Gundy.
Hey, what's up, gents? How you doing today?
We're doing great.
Gundy?
Talking story.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, you know, a little bit slower this week. We had some kind of weaker tides, but still, you know, still some catches to be had. I would say we're kind of in the thick of the winter right now. I'd say, you know, the best bet was the good perching on the northern beaches, and that's been pretty consistent. Santa Barbara, Ventura, Oxnard, and then a few halibut catches up there, too. And then on the southern front, several legal halibut were taken in the harbors and lagoons, so that's a good sign. And then good perch fishing, mostly smaller fish, but not too hard to get a limit. Hook, line, sinker reported several legal halibut taken along Goleta Beach there. Not big fish, maybe 22, 24 inches, something like that. The barred perch bite was also good, and those western beaches have been producing out there, Gaviota, but also Goleta to Henry's has been a good stretch. Wiley's reported good mixed bag fishing along Pescador, Matador, Piedra. These are kind of rocky, kelpy beaches. They're soaking squid there and getting a nice mix of calico bass, sand bass, shallow water, rockfish, a few cabazon here and there. And like I said, squid has been the thing, and the fish are pretty much glued to the bottom with the cool water. A 5-pound striper was taken below Zuma, too. Jets Fishing reported good barred perch catches along Hermosa Torrance beaches, most of the fish under a pound. Big Fish also reported some good halibut action in and around L.A. Harbor. That Shoreline Drive, Cherry Beach stretch, Belmont Shores, that's been pretty good. The Bolsa Chica Inlet's been another place to look at. Drop Shot, White Zoom Flukes working for those guys. Ketchum Tackle reported a few legal halibut taken off river jetties. Slow Rolling Crocodiles was what their customer caught his two fish on. Pacific Coast reported good halibut action in the bays and lagoons. The deeper channels have been best. Zoom Flukes again here, now fished on a dart head, was the top bait. Cut Anchovy also working, I think, 32-inch was their top fish. You know, those fluke baits, Pete, work real well this time of year. You can rig them drop shot or on a dart head, and you work them slow, kind of like a spoon or something, where you just kind of give them a jiggle, let them sit and give them. And those guys have been getting them. I heard in particular Mission Bay and San Diego Bay, some nice fish in the channels there, like anywhere from 15 to 32 feet of water. So, you know, it's wintertime, and that's what you do. You slow it down, and you pick away, scratch away.
That's it, man. And, of course, next Sunday, our tribute to Don Hansen, I know you're going to want to tell some stories.
Yeah, I got a couple good ones. I was kind of thinking over the – actually, a lot of them, but I whittled it down to a few good ones. So all I'm right. Looking forward to that, Pete.
We're looking forward to talking to you next Sunday. All right, Gundy, great job on the surf fish report, and we will talk to you next Sunday for that big tribute.
All right, have a good week, gentlemen. Thanks, always Gundy. A pleasure.
Appreciate that. Hey, that report again, sponsored by the brand-new 2022 CCA calendar. It's now available at all of the sport fishing landings, tackle shops, and at surffishtackle.com. It has the tides, the moon phases, important dates, plus a really cool tribute to Jack Nielsen. A great calendar for sure, and it's time to get that
calendar,
man.
Get it up
man.
On the
yeah.
wall like it is on mine.
No doubt
sure.
about it. Marby, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great text messages. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank Capresti of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
One of the
the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
San Diego. Do you need a vehicle that's built ready for your next adventure? Well, your San Diego County Ford dealers have you covered with the 2021 Ford Ranger. This adventure-ready truck is built with durable features like its frame-mounted step bumpers and high-strength steel frame. But that's not all. The Ford Ranger also has an available terrain management system with four selectable drive modes depending on what terrain you're on for optimum performance. Looking to tow your boat or trailer to your next adventure? No problem. The 2021 Ford Ranger can handle that too and has smart technology like Bliss with trailer coverage to assist changing lane and makes driving so much better when towing your boat or trailer. Visit your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer or buyfordnow.com to learn more. That's buyfordnow.com and they'll be glad to hook you up.
This is the wheel Southern California saltwater anglers have been waiting for. The new Shimano Torium 40 HG. From casting wahoo bombs while long-range fishing, fishing local tuna or rockfish, the new Shimano Torium 40 HG should be part of your arsenal. With more capacity, more power, and an amazing 31 pounds of drag with Shimano's carbon drag system, nothing rivals this addition to the Torium lineup. Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters says Shimano engineered Torium for the way we fish on the West Coast. With casting gear on conventional tackle, Torium's power and fishability are rooted in its body. A rigid, all-metal Hagane body encases Torium, delivering both stiffness and impact resistance. Anglers' actions are transformed directly into cranking power. Torium's S-compact body design makes it easier for anglers to control hooked fish in critical situations. The new Shimano Torium 40 HG is now available at your local Shimano dealer. Grab yours today.